If you take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn in 2 Corinthians to chapter 11. We are going to begin at verse 7 and we're going to read down through verse 12. Now, some of your Bibles will have an end of a paragraph at verse 11. Some of you may go through verse 12. The thing to remember is paragraphs are not inspired. And neither are the sentences themselves in terms of the length and where you cut them off and where you put a period or a comma or whatever. And so some Bibles will see the end of this paragraph at verse 11. I personally think that it goes through with the conclusion at verse 12, and so that's why we're looking at it this way today. So 7 through 12. Hear now the word of God. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. And when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need, and in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you, and will continue to do so. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. Amen. This is God's holy word.
Amen.
We have a proverb, a common saying that I know you all have heard of before, and it is, you get what you pay for. And usually that statement is made to cast some disdain on something that is free, but really cheaply made. That's what we use it for. I used to use that type of logic to dismiss free software until I discovered Linux and the open source software products that are available there. I discovered that what I had dismissed was not only of great quality, it actually was even better than what I had been paying for many years. But this is not a commercial, although you can take it at face value if you want to. Now, Paul gave the gospel away free of charge. This opened him up to some astounding criticism from the false apostles. Because what they were claiming was that anything that was free was not worth anything at all. And Paul answers that charge in the section we're looking at today. He starts out by setting forth a humble example to the Corinthians. He says, did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? This is a rhetorical question. Doesn't require an answer, but if it does have an answer, it has to be no. This is one of those things that's written in Greek. There's some languages in which you can ask a question or make a statement, and the response that is required by the way in which it's phrased, by the grammar and so on, is either a yes or a no. Well, Paul uses words here that require a no answer. Did I sin against you? No. That's the answer. It's rhetorical, but no is the answer. The only answer that you could get. Well, what was Paul doing that his opponents charged him with sin? He says two things. Number one, he was humbling himself. And number two, he was giving out the gospel free of charge. So how did Paul humble himself? Well, in the context here, what Paul is doing is he is humbling himself by not demanding a salary from the Corinthians when he preached the gospel to them. He supported himself by being a tent maker. In those days, in the Apostle Paul's day, Jewish boys were taught a trade by their fathers. And so we read that James and John were taught how, Peter and John were taught how to fish by their fathers. Jesus was taught carpentry by Joseph. Now, I know Joseph was not Jesus' biological father, but he was his dad. People are using that term now. There's a difference between biological father and dad. And Joseph fits into the category of dad. He was the head of the household at that time, and he taught the trade of carpentry to Jesus. And Paul learned, apparently from his father, the trade of being a tent maker. But let's remember that for the educated, snobby Greeks to which Paul is writing these things, any kind of manual labor was for servants and slaves only. No self-respecting, snobby, upper-class Greek would ever dream of doing any manual labor. He would not get his hands dirty for anything. After all, we've got slaves for that. And so anybody who did manual labor was considered to be lower class, poor, a slave, or a servant of some kind. And therefore, Paul's manual labor of making tents was looked down upon by some in Corinth, in the church even, as well as by these false apostles. And he was being talked about by his opponents. This was a negative thing as far as they were concerned. The second thing that he is charged with is giving out the gospel free of charge. Why did he do that? And Paul says the reason he did that was to exalt the Corinthian Christians. He didn't want anyone to ever accuse him of being a burden on those to whom he was preaching the gospel. And so he worked with his own hands in order to be able to support himself. Now, did he have to work this way? The answer to that question is no. Paul has already told us back in 1 Corinthians that preachers of the gospel were to be supported through their preaching. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat of the food of the temple? And those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel." So Paul is giving authority to ministers of the gospel being paid for their ministry, their service to the Lord. But what Paul did was he regularly dismissed this privilege as it regarded himself as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even though he had the right to it, he dismissed it. He did not take advantage of it because he did not want to be associated with those who peddled the gospel for money. He didn't want to be known in that way at all. And so what we're going to see as we go through this passage and other parts of Scripture is that the Apostle Paul would often receive help from other churches, but not from the one where he was at the moment. He would receive gifts given to him by other churches, but not where he was ministering at that particular time. And the reason, of course, that he explains is he doesn't want to become a burden on those to whom he is currently trying to reach with the gospel message. Now that ran totally contrary to the thinking of the day. The understanding of the Greeks simply was anything that's given away freely has no value whatsoever. And so the opponents of the Apostle Paul are saying that he thinks so little of the message that he is speaking that he must be ashamed to charge the Corinthians to preach to them. That his message is of so little value that he is just shamed and cannot even ask anything for it at all. They didn't have such qualms, however, and they charged for their teachings. Remember also we saw last time that they accused Paul of not being a very good public speaker. Now, in his day, a person who was skilled in oratory could command a very large stipend from speaking engagements. He could demand that people pay a lot of money to hear his great oratorical renditions. And also, if he was good enough, he would have students that would be clamoring to come to him to be trained, and he could charge them tuition. And so he could make a lot of money from his public speaking. A skillful public speaker in that day could certainly do that, much like retired presidents in our day and other public officials who can demand as much, if not more, for one public speaking appearance than they earned during an entire year when they were serving in public office. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that certainly did happen, does happen, and Paul didn't do this. And therefore, his enemies are saying that not only is he not a very good speaker, he's a poor speaker, but he doesn't even think much of his own message. And therefore, he just gives it away for free because he can't charge for it. It's so poorly delivered and it's got no content to it, so he just gives it out. Paul's response is, I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. In other words, Paul did receive gifts. We're going to see in just a second that these other churches supplied his needs. Scripture tells us that from time to time, the Apostle Paul received financial help from the church at Philippi. Now, recall where Philippi is. It is in Macedonia. And recall what we've seen about Macedonia. It was one of the poorest regions in the Roman Empire. The folks there did not have a great amount of money. And so Paul has already commended them, we saw in chapter 8, for giving out of their poverty to help take care of the poor saints in Jerusalem. And in addition to doing that, these folks at Philippi also gave to the Apostle Paul in order to help him spread the gospel to those who were lost. And so Paul, in describing what he did, uses a very shocking term. He uses a military term. He says, I robbed other churches. And it's the military term for pillaging. Now, when you pillage, what that means is, after the battle is over, if you're one of the surviving soldiers, you go around the battlefield and you strip the armor and the weapons and any valuables off the dead bodies of the enemy. Or if you take a town, the soldiers go into town, they enter every home, and they carry off all the valuables that they find there. That's pillaging. And Paul says that he pillaged other churches to preach to these rich Christians in Corinth. He wants them to think about that fact. He wants them to think about the fact that he received financial help from other churches that he had established, but he does not demand this from the Corinthians at all, because his desire is to lift them up in Christ. He wants to exalt them in the Lord. He does not want to ever become a burden upon them. But let's recall, these Christians in Corinth were much better off than the ones in Macedonia were. And so verse 9, and when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need. And in everything, I kept myself from being a burden to you and will continue to do so. So Paul continues to say that anytime he was physically present with them and he did fall into some need of some kind, he never demanded that they pay for any message that he preached. Once again, he is not saying this because he doesn't have a right to be paid, but he is saying this because let's remember, a laborer is worthy of his wages, a laborer is worthy of his hire. But Paul is saying this because he wants to set the example before the Corinthians of laboring for the Lord and seeing the Lord continually supply the needs of his people. And so Paul talks about being in need from time to time. I assume that tent making was not always hotly demanded. That there may have been times when Paul had a backlog of tents. He'd literally worked, and there the tents are piling up, and people aren't just demanding tents for whatever reason. Last year they wanted tents, this year it's a dearth. They don't want tents. And I get this picture in my mind of two tent stores on opposite corners. And one guy saying, buy one, get one free. Well, there just were times when Paul couldn't give away a tent, much less sell one. And so because of that, what he had a need. And what God did was God placed it upon the hearts of people to whom Paul had ministered elsewhere, like in Macedonia, like in the church at Philippi, to send money, financial aid, to help him as he continued to minister in another place. And Paul says that they fully supplied his need. He did not want to ever be a burden on those to whom he was preaching the gospel. And he promises, I'll never be a burden to you like that. Now, does this mean that the Corinthians should never give Paul financial support? Doesn't mean that at all, no. But remember, Paul has told us God loves a cheerful giver. And so what Paul wants is for the Corinthians to understand that any giving that they give to him, probably when he's off someplace else, any giving that they give to him should be voluntary and it should be joyful. Because what he does not want is he does not want anyone to give under obligation or under some grudging feeling, so that they just really don't want to give to him, but they feel they're forced to do so. Now, this model that Paul uses does apply today. It applies when we send missionaries into very poor places. When missionaries go, we in this country, which is very rich when you look at the world itself, we support those missionaries as they go to these poorer places, so that as they are attempting to establish the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in these poor areas, they do not become a burden upon those to whom they are preaching the gospel. So we follow this pattern that Paul sets forth in sending missionaries today. Paul goes on in verse 10 and talks about his reason for boasting. He says, as the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Now, Paul is able to speak freely because the truth of Jesus Christ is in him. You could take this as a vow or as a statement, as God is my witness almost. And it does have that meaning to a certain extent, but it also is a true statement about the truth. The truth of Christ is in Paul because the truth of the gospel is in Paul, and it overflows from Paul to those to whom he is ministering. Paul has freely received the gospel from the Lord Jesus, and Paul has freely given away the gospel to others as he preaches. Well, let's remember that the truth that he talks about here is truth that's only found in Christ. As Jesus himself said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so truth overflows from Jesus to his people through the gospel. And Paul is the one proclaiming the gospel here. Paul has been a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Corinthians. Now, the danger for the Corinthians is if they begin to listen to these false apostles, they might be tempted to sever their ties with the apostle Paul. And if they do that, what's going to happen is they will begin to sever their ties with the truth. They're going to be listening to a false gospel. He's going to talk about that in a little while. And more importantly, not only will they sever their ties with the truth, but they will sever their ties with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's going to be a false Christ preached to them by these false apostles. And so the progress and the spread of the gospel is at stake here. This is why Paul is so insistent on what he has to say here, because he does not want the Corinthians falling under the sway of those who are teaching a false Jesus and a false way of salvation and a false gospel, because it is a departure from the truth, and Paul is preaching the truth of Jesus Christ to them. This boasting that he talks about is the boasting of freely giving away the gospel message, of proclaiming God's saving work through the Lord Jesus Christ without demanding that people pay to hear him speak. The wonderful privilege of hearing what Paul has to say. And so he says that nobody in the whole region of Achaia, and that's this rich region in which Corinth is found, can stop his boasting of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's free grace, freely given in the Lord Jesus. The term he uses that's translated, will not be stopped, means to muzzle, or to silence, or to shut a person's or an animal's mouth. It's the same term Paul uses in Romans 3, when he says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. And so Paul was talking there about the fact that there's no one who can speak back to God. Nobody can challenge God. Nobody can claim that God has done something wrong, that every mouth will be silenced before God. And here Paul says nobody can muzzle me when I'm talking about Jesus. Just imagine somebody trying to do that with Paul. You could see how hard that would be. You can't keep Paul from speaking about Jesus Christ. And Paul also knows you can't keep the Corinthians from talking about how Paul freely proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And so there's another odd accusation that seems to be behind verse 11 that crops up here. Why? Because I do not love you, God knows I do. Apparently, from what we read here, apparently the opponents of Paul were saying that because Paul did not demand money for the gospel message he was proclaiming, number one, he didn't think much of the message, but number two, he didn't really love the Corinthians either. If he loved the Corinthians, he'd charge them. And he's not charging them, so he doesn't really love them. Now, that's silly. It's ridiculous, at least from our perspective. The fact that Paul doesn't demand a speaker's fee for the gospel is indication, they're saying, that Paul doesn't really love you at all. And his only reply to this is to call upon God as his witness. So God knows. God knows. God is my witness. I do love you. And he doesn't go into great detail. We know God is the searcher of all men's hearts. He knows your heart better than you know your heart. He knows our secrets better than we know them. And so Paul is content to rest simply in God's evaluation of his love for these Corinthian Christians. And though he doesn't say it here, he's also content to know that the Corinthians know that Paul loves them because of what he has said and what he has done for them in the past. So his enemies might accuse him of not loving the Corinthians, but Paul is content to know that God knows the truth, and he knows that the Corinthians know the truth as well. And then finally he says that he is doing what he's doing in order to stop the enemy's mouth, to keep them from boasting. But what I am doing I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they're boasting. Paul is going to continue to preach the gospel free of charge. He is going to do this for this reason, that he does not want to give the enemy an opportunity to compare themselves with him. He wants to eliminate any justification they might possibly have to claim that their actions are the right ones and Paul's are the wrong ones. He wants to cut off their scheme of claiming to be equal with him as apostles, and the boast that they have been boasting about their achievements. They're better speakers than Paul is. You see, they want Paul to begin to demand money. And once Paul begins to demand money, they're going to say, see, he's just like us and we're better. He's not a very good speaker and his message is really pathetic and he really doesn't love you folks, but we're much better, so you ought to listen to us. And so they want to bring Paul down to their level and exalt themselves in the eyes of the Corinthians and have this equal comparison. And ultimately what this is an attempt to destroy Paul's apostolic authority before the folks at Corinth. Paul is aware of their schemes, and he will not play along. He's not going to go fall for it. And this is something that we need to recognize too, about the devil's schemes. Paul's going to talk more about the devil and his schemes in just a few minutes. Well, not this week, next time. But he's going to look at that in the next little section. Paul's going to continue to do what he's been doing all along. He's going to give away the gospel free of charge. And he's going to do that so that his opponents will not have an occasion to slander it. And he is aware of how the devil is at work in such things. He knows the plots and the schemes and the plans of these enemies of Christ. And what we can learn from this is the more we know those things, the more we are able to defend against them. And the way we defend against the schemes of the devil is by not acting in a way they don't expect us to, by not acting like them. In other words, they want us to play the same game by the same rules, but as Christians, we don't. And that surprises them. We don't play their game. We don't follow their rules. Paul shows us how not to do that. They want us to lower ourselves to their level. And then they'll begin, once we do, if we lower ourselves to their level, then they can begin to charge us like they did with Paul, of fraud, or lack of love, or whatever else. There's bound to be some other charge that can be leveled at us that they will come up with. Instead of doing that, we must be able to continue to, as Paul was doing here, proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge, not demanding high speaker's fees or promoting our brand or our ministry. This is one of the things that if you begin to notice somebody whose own particular name has become a brand, and they begin to charge lots of money to hear them speak about whatever it is they want to speak, that's not what we do. That's what Paul is saying. We don't play that game. We don't do that because we don't want the gospel to be associated with us at all. We don't want the gospel to be associated with just me, or how important my message is, or you need to listen to me and not to anybody else. We want to preach the gospel as Paul preached. And so we're not out for brand name Christianity. The main point that we ought to take away from this is we must do as the Apostle Paul did, and that is point others to the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is found in that free proclamation of the free grace of God found in Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace that you give to us in Christ. We thank you so much for these things that Paul understood very clearly. We thank you for his practice of giving the gospel away. He had freely received and he freely gave. Lord, may we do all of that as well as your people. And Lord, may the gospel not be ever become associated with somebody, some type of brand name, but may it always only be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.